Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly. This is the High Hopes Podcast.
High Hopes!
On the Odyssey app and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
The crowd was singing high.
Yo, it is another edition of the IOS podcast, sponsored by Miller Lite, official partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Taste like Miller time, Philadelphia. Celebrate responsibly. Fritzy, home run derby night. The draft is over. The All-Star game tomorrow, Sanji on the hill. We had to do another pod. The radio shows weren't enough.
Never enough. Never enough. You don't know why, James? Because we really had high hopes it up. You know, sometimes we got to button it up on the old radio show, make sure that we are on our P's and Q's, but not on this show. Not on this show. So, yes, it is. You want to talk about just a jam-packed time in Phillies baseball. The Phillies playing this weekend was almost secondary to everything going on. The draft going on, All-Star Village going on, Chris Sanchez named the All-Star starter, Zach Wheeler says, nope, and the home run derby tonight. And then, oh, by the way, they beat Schuble and had maybe one of the best wins of the season. No big deal at all.
Yeah, no, there were not a lack of stuff to talk about right now. And if you want to hear about the All-Star Village, we were there on Saturday. The show's in the feed and all that. It really was an awesome, awesome experience. But we are here today to look forward, Jack Fritz. We're going to get to the draft. You know, I know you wanted to lead with it, but let's lead with the All-Star game and then we'll get to the draft if you're all right with that. I know that a large portion of this podcast will be dedicated to you because you spent like 10 minutes on WIP breaking down the draft. That was nothing compared to what we're going to do here, right? Yeah.
Well,
especially because you know I want to go home and nap. So, like, it will be a long diatribe on the draft.
I might have to just turn your screen off.
I'll nap. I can take a nap while you do it. It'll be good.
So I don't see the eyes.
The eyes dying as you go. Yeah.
It's like, oh, here's 5 minutes on Patrick Clemmy in the 14th round. Seltzer just wants to go to sleep because he's got a big night because he has to be down at the home run derby.
What a tough life I have. What a shame.
It is crazy that the home run derby is tonight in Philadelphia. And Buzz pointed this out, our good friend Dan Wilson. The last time I was here, it was in the middle of the day and no one was there as Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, like the best sluggers of our lives, are putting on a show. And tonight, obviously, way more pageantry. I do wish they would let all the players have the old VCR cameras.
Me too.
The iPhone just doesn't have the same aura as the VCR tapes on the third base and first base line. But dude, it's pretty surreal that all of this is happening in Philadelphia. People already lined up. Can't wait to go in and talk about how this is once in a lifetime. This is once in a lifetime for a lot of our older generation, including.
Stop talking about me, Jack. All right. You don't do it right to my face. Okay. Yeah. Look, I'm looking at it as once in a lifetime, even though I was alive in 96. So I guess technically twice in a lifetime, but I didn't get to do it. Even I didn't get to go. And to your point, just to see, I mean, we talked about this before, but the fact that Citizens Bank Park is yet to have an All-Star game, we've had so many moments, so many amazing things happen in that ballpark, but we've never seen an All-Star game there. And it deserves one. It's one of the best parks in the sport. It's going to be surreal. Like tonight, seeing all the players on the field sitting around like families, the kids shagging fly balls, like the whole thing. And to your point, it will be packed. We've talked to a lot of people. It seems like if you couldn't get to go to the All-Star game, you're going to the home run derby, or you went yesterday or whatever. It's everyone's trying to take advantage of this moment. And to your point, I watched, after Dan told us about that, I had forgotten it. I watched some of the videos, you can see them on Twitter or whatever. And it's weird. It's weird seeing Barry Bonds in the daylight with like half the outfield stands filled up, just like hitting bombs. It's strange. It is going to be so cool tonight under the lights with that crowd full and those guys just going off. I can't. I'm more excited for the All-Star game just because, you know, it is the main event. But I am almost as excited for the Home Run Derby. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. I think I'm more excited for the Home Run Derby. I mean, the All-Star game now, seeing some of the best pitchers in the world face the best hitters in the world, like, that's a little bit of a bummer. No Shohei. I mean, Shohei. It'd be cool seeing him in that atmosphere. And I'm actually, it's funny, I'm more excited for the intros than I am.
Me too. I'm excited for that. I told you, I said on the air yesterday, like, the single moment that I am most excited for is when Christopher Sanchez walks to the hill to take the mound to start the game. I think that's just going to be an absolute electric pop in that building. So I'm with you, like, seeing them line up, getting to cheer all six of our all-stars, that's going to be a really special thing.
Yes, we're all going to come together. Remember that these are our guys, and it's going to be we can rip them, but no one else can rip them. That's what this city does better than I think any city in the world is that.
It'll also be weird, like cheering Freddie Freeman when he gets a hit or whatever. Like being a National League, we want to win it. It's going to be weird cheering for some of those guys if they come through. You know.
Well, it's not as important as it used to be. Needing to win for the
doesn't count. Yes.
In the World Series,
but still. Again, to your point, I always root for the National League. I'm sure you do. We, you know, we're National Leaguesmen. I'll always root for the National League over the American League. But I generally went, you know, since it stopped carrying that little portion of time where it mattered, I'm with you. I don't care. I want one of our guys to win MVP, this, that, whatever. But like, I don't really care. I care. I want to go to a game that we win on the All-Star game. Like, I actually like do care about the National League winning this game on
time. Well, and because we want to see Duran close it out.
Well, that too, dude. To get the intro in the All-Star game, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Now, I do hope that if Mason Miller comes in like in the eighth, because I do want Duran to get the ninth. This is less about everyone else and more about us than.
Yeah, which it should be. Sorry. Yes.
We got a great team. We got great players.
And look, also just forgetting the you know, selfishness of it or whatever, just as a viewer on I know Mason Miller, you know, he is fun to watch. But this is a pageant. It's a show. And Duran in that stadium coming in is going to be a way better theater. Like, it just will. Like, that place will be electric. It'll be awesome. It'll be a better show for America. Like, it's the right move.
So it is the right move. My only counter would be, and I want Duran the ninth. This is only if the eighth. And perfect scenario here is like a 3-1 game. That's what I'm shooting for. I'm shooting for a 3-1 game. But have you seen Mason Miller's corn intro?
No. Like, is it sick?
It's pretty dang sick. So I hope the Padres can like lend it to the Phillies.
Yeah.
And now they can just play the song and turn the lights off. And
sure. But it'd be cool if they do the real intro. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I want all that stuff. Give me all that stuff.
I want all the players walk up songs when they're coming up. Like, I want it to. Yeah, exactly. I want it to feel different and unique and special and all that.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome. And on top of everything, seems like we're getting A+ Philadelphia weather.
Looked both nights, dude. Both nights. It is like, thank goodness. It was the one thing I was like almost hesitant to check the weather because there was only one thing that could really ruin this, and that's if it was gross out. And I checked last night, and I was through the roof, man. I was so excited.
We might be getting some CBP sunsets.
Hey, buddy.
Man, there's not. Yeah, you can do your little sunset on the beach. Like, oh, it's so pretty. Oh, up in the mountains. Oh, looking over a lake. Like, oh, it's so pretty. CBP sunsets are the most beautiful thing in the entire
unmatched.
World.
Unmatched.
So, yeah, dude, it's going to be a really, really cool next couple of nights. I hope that Schwarber and Harper put on a show. If I had to bet, I'm betting
Junior.
On Caminaro.
Me too.
Like, that guy... He's going to hit at least one onto Ashburn Alley. I can't wait to see how many people hit him into Ashburn Alley.
Me too, because it's such a rare thing. Obviously, we've seen a few players. Like, I think Rooker did it last year. Like, it's rare. It's so rare to see a player do it. Like, we're going to see in the Home Run Derby it happen multiple times. That's such a neat thing.
I mean, Caminaro might hit one off the scoreboard.
Dude, that guy hits bombs, tank shots. And he'll definitely, if he hits one, he will flip his bat too.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. I wonder if anyone could hit Howard territory in right field. Third deck. I want to see
it. Oh, we got a guy who could do it. I mean, could do it, it's Kyle.
I know. So yeah, that's gonna be a lot of fun. Bryce is a little insane for thinking you should be able to use an aluminum bat.
I know. I like that. I like the spirit of it. At least he said just for the gold ball. Like, he didn't say the whole time. I get it. I do think if they're like, uh-oh, aluminum bat time, I think we would all lock in. I don't.
Well, you have to lock
crazy.
In.
I don't think it's crazy. I know you might die if the ball's hit you.
You might die.
It is a little dangerous, but I do think there is something. Like, I don't think it's a fun idea, you know?
Here, I love it if there was no circumstances of, yes. I don't know, kids running around
yes,
in the outfield.
That's the problem. That's the problem.
If you could empty the stands and say there's no one in the outfield, like, I would be all aboard.
Like, but guys get into 120 miles an hour with a wooden bat. Like, what's it going to do of an aluminum?
I know. It would actually be a threat. It would be a threat to every kid out there that's just running around. Like, and I do wonder if maybe we can get a little late entry for Caden Bogenpohl to be in it, but probably a little bit late for him.
That might be tough. Speaking of the home run derby, what do you make of Bryce tapping the, and I know it wasn't you and we're all disappointed about that. It should have been. I mean, if Bryce had any real, you know, respect for the state. No, I'm just kidding. But what do you make of him tapping the Dodgers third base coach to come in through him? It's unexpected.
He was the guy that it was Schwarber's like secret weapon last
year.
Yeah. It reminds me of the guy that pitched to, and I wish I remember his name, but he pitched to Abreu and Howard in back-to-back years and they won, but he was on the Philly staff.
Yeah. He was a Philly staff guy, that guy.
So, but
it's just so weird. It's like, let me get the Dodgers their base coach. Like, okay.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of symmetry there because his two sons are both, his one son was drafted 18th overall by the Brewers. It was later than that. 20 something by the Brewers. And the year before, his other son was drafted by the Brewers as well. So both of them are in the Brewer system. And I believe in 2012 or 2015 All-Star game, the guy had Harper take a photo with his two sons. So, like,
that's cool.
Whole thing.
That's cool.
So much symmetry. I thought it would be funny if the Phillies drafted Abel. Now, he went earlier than the Phillies could have picked, and they wouldn't have picked him anyway. But it would have been a really symmetrical weekend.
Yeah, sure.
He's pitching to Bryce. Phillies draft his son, and here we all are. But yeah, no, it's a little weird. But the guy seems like the whisperer, and Bryce, I think he really wants to win it.
Are you kidding me,
yeah.
Dude? If Bryce once he decided to do it, it was only to win it. Like there is no, and he did it because he felt like he should. I think, and I agree. But I think he wants to win it more than anyone else in the field.
Yeah, no, he certainly wants to. He's gonna have the showman thing going tonight. He wants to do all that.
Yes,
stuff.
Yes, of course he does.
And there's a trust factor with Bryce that I feel like he's gonna show up and do his
bring thing. It. Yeah, I agree. Let me ask you a question because I've always wondered this, and I'm sure there are listeners out there who wonder the same thing. And you just talked about like this third base coach being like a secret weapon in a home run derby. What makes a good home run derby pitcher? Is it just the consistency? Is it a certain type of speed? Like, I know you don't want it too slow, but you want it, you know, like, what is it? Like, what is it? Like, and then, you know, some of these guys, it does seem like the pitcher screws them up with the, you know, kind of being not in the zone and all that. What are the like key tenets of a good home run derby pitcher?
So it's having rhythm. It's having a rhythm to it. Once they get in a rhythm, they're good to go. And they can, that's how you rattle off a million in a row. It's consistency of location, like throwing it to the same spot where the guy wants it. And then it's having a little bit of firmness to it.
Yeah,
like
I figured.
There's a little bit of a firmness. If it's in the same spot, if it is in the same rhythm, like there's a rhythm to batting practice that you can kind of get into. And that's how you, like, that's how Abreu got and how Howard got. And as Tucker pointed out, it was Henderson. Ramon Henderson was the guy from back in the day.
Did you look that up, Tucker? Or did you know that? Because if you knew that, that would be something else.
I could see Tucker knowing
that. That's why I asked it. That's why I asked it. Because like you would just assume that the person looked it up, but because it's Tucker, I thought he actually might know it. Yeah,
he said he knew it, and I believe.
Yeah, I totally believe him. Yeah,
him and Buzz. I feel like those two would have gotten that one. Would have gotten that one right.
Oh, wow. He's got a connection to him or something. All right, like knows him. How about that? That's good work by you, Tuck.
Yeah, Tucker. By the way, did a great job filling in for the post game pods last week.
He always does. A lot of Tucker's fun. Fantastic.
Yeah. But yeah, so I'd say that's the big three. That's the big three. So yeah, I don't know. I also wonder who's throwing to Schwarber if Ebel's throwing to.
Well, yeah, right. I mean, they're not gonna make the guy throw twice, right? Yeah.
Did Harper go to Schwarber and say, "I'm taking him"? You can't have them. If I'm gonna go. And I can see Schwarber being like, dude, just take them. I don't care.
I totally agree with you.
Meanwhile, Harper's like, I need to win this.
I know. Harper's like, I am serious. I need the best guy. I'm taking this dead serious.
Dude, he is.
Like, do you think, I know his dad like couldn't throw, but do you think maybe he was like, Dad, you're not good enough. I need someone else to throw for me. I'm taking this.
I need a ringer.
Dad, you used to be good, but you're a little older now. You just can't put it where I need it. Like, sorry, pal.
Yeah, I need Abel in here. I need the home run derby whisper. Dude, Bryce
is so good.
Bryce is like one of the most serious people I think.
I told you that. So again, I was around him for the first time ever in spring training when we interviewed. I'd been in the clubhouse, but I never like interacted with Bryce. And that was my number one takeaway. I just couldn't, and it wasn't like he was like mean or this or anything. No. He's intense. He is so locked in, and just like when he looks at you, it's like it's unnerving almost. You're just like, oh, chill, dude. Buddy. It's all good, man. Yay, Bryce. Like, it really is. He is a very intense human. It's wild to be around him. You feel
dude, when we interviewed him, he was going through the lineup in 22, and he was like Reese bat second, and then he was like JT at third, right? And then looked right at me. In my head, I was thinking, just say yes. You know it's yes. You know it's yes. But he was looking at me. I was like, I think so. I think that could have been a real moment. You know?
You're right. You're right. Yeah, that's just what it is, man. He's intense.
No, so, Jalen's like Jalen and him.
No, I agree. I think they're very similar like that. Yeah.
Similar in the just not, don't want to deal with any of the BS. Like, let's just go do our thing and let's get out of here. But this is going to be cool. Tonight's going to be fun. I hope they have fun. I hope Harper goes backwards hat. He'll probably just go showman. Headband. I think that's.
I agree.
If I had to bet, they're going to put on a show, and then tomorrow night's going to be just a real, real treat of seeing some of the best, seeing Sanchi, seeing Schmitty throw out the first pitch, the pop from everything. There's going to be so much pop tomorrow at the ballpark.
Marsh
introduced and run out to left field, and that huge ovation he's going to get. I hope he's
like whenever Harper gets into the game, like when he pinch hits or comes into first base or whatever. I mean, that pop is going to be insane.
Then Moby starts playing.
Schwarber, when he steps to the plate as the DH in the first inning, whenever he's batting, most likely in the first inning, I assume, like.
The Grove Street party. Yeah. Oh, this is going to be special. It's going to be really cool, man.
It's going to be really cool.
I hope that Marsh is not playing center field. Who's playing left so they can get the.
So it's him, Paz, and Soto, right? I mean, Paz could play center, right?
Yeah, I think. Sure.
I mean, I know he's not. I'm just saying, like. It could be Marsh.
It could be Marsh.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's not going to be Soto. We could say that. Soto will be in a corner. The question is where they go otherwise. Soto will be in right. The question is it going to be.
Well, but it could be if he plays left.
Yeah, it could be left too. Yeah. So and Paz could play right. I mean, Paz is probably more right than Marsh. I don't know, actually.
You know, it'd be cool. He's probably going to play center field.
Yeah. I think so too.
It'd be cool if those guys hang back and let Marsh just run out first.
That would be cool. Yeah, that would be.
Slow rise in the crowd. I think that'd be sweet.
Yeah,
we're making this again, like we said earlier. We're making this about Philadelphia.
This should be. This is ours. You can all have your other All-Star games. This is our one. This is the one for us, man. And we have six All-Stars. Like it's for us, man. I'm sorry. All right. Oh. 250 years of the freaking country. We started the country. You're welcome.
Other pops, Mattingly's on the staff,
which is very cool. And shout out to Dave Roberts for that, like went and asked him to be on. And also Dave Roberts, I'm not a huge Dave Roberts guy, but given Sanchi the start, I thought it was a nice statement he made. I think Dave Roberts has been around long enough and has been a part of baseball long enough. I think he understands what he's supposed to do. You know what I mean?
Well, and he's, won enough World Series to where he could be. Exactly.
Whatever. He's managed enough All-Star games. He's done all these things. Yeah, exactly.
This is nothing to me. I'll be go whoever you want, frankly.
Yeah, sure. I'd rather have the crowd cheer me than boo me. Let's just do that one. Yeah.
Yeah. The other guy that is going to really, really shine this week, and I can't wait for him getting his opportunity because I believe he did it in 76, but did not. Obviously, 1952 is a long time ago. But Dan Baker how awesome this is for him and how awesome this is for he's going to crush all these. I said this last night and I gave myself chills a little bit because I know he's going to crush it. But when they go through the starting lineup and it finally gets to, and in the bullpen, starting pitcher, Christopher Sanchez. And like, yeah, then it's just going to
be. It's going to be so great.
Oh, the camera's going to pan to him and he's going to be warming up. Dude, I need a Sanchez cheese and smile. There's nothing that warms my heart more than a real happy Chris Sanchez.
Like, because he's pretty stoic. Like, he's not. Yeah, he doesn't give you the smile that often. When he does it, it's like, oh, look at that. Yeah.
It was like when Wheeler was smiling at Derek Hill.
Totally.
I was like, whoa, what was
it's like,
that?
whoa, all right.
What was that? So, man, it's going to be really, really special. Get some sleeps in there, pal.
Tell me about it. As soon as this pod is done, I'm napping. Then a home run derby, no sleep. Then I'm going to work tomorrow. I'm going to go home and nap again. That's my plan.
You don't want to maybe break down 11 through 20 tomorrow?
Right? We're doing that today.
I am. I won't subject you to it for too long. I promise.
I'm excited for it. It's going to be good.
They won 2 of 3.
They did. Yeah. How about it? Yeah, anything else on the All-Star game before we move on to the weekend and then the draft?
No, I think that's all good. Also, yeah. You should. We were down there on Saturday. If you have a chance, you should go to the All-Star Village. It's pretty cool. There's a lot of stuff going on in there. And yeah, I mean, it's worth it. Definitely leave yourself at least 2 hours.
Everything
seems packed. Like maybe these 2 days because people are probably back working.
At work and stuff. Yeah. Like, I think it'll be better.
It'll be less jam-packed in there, but certainly a lot of cool stuff going on.
Yeah, and very family-friendly. Bring your kids. There's wiffle ball things and all this type of stuff. So, yeah, if to Jack's point, and we said it before, but I think, you know, everyone who couldn't get in the All-Star games trying to go to the Home Run Derby or went yesterday or whatever, you know, and whether you're going or not, this is a really unique thing that probably won't happen here for a long time again. You know, take advantage of it. Get every part of it that you can. If you're a baseball fan, you know, it's a special thing. All right. We won't do too much on the weekend. Obviously, we've talked a lot about it the last couple of days, but general thoughts, 2 of 3. I think the biggest thing, I said this yesterday, but we were doing the show on Saturday from the Village and, you know, the 10-2, 10-3, whatever it was on Friday loss. And, you know, the kind of bit of a lull for the first time since the Mattingly came in and, you know, they've been playing great baseball, bit of a lull. And we were going into that Saturday game saying, man, you know, just don't go into the break weak. Don't just kind of mail it in and get to that break and, you know, kind of, you know, slink into the break, so to speak. And it felt like we were potentially heading in that direction. And then apparently Don Mattingly is like, no way, guys, let's freaking go. Bring it. Let's finish the break strong. And they played really well those last two games and handled business. JT offensively, the star of the two games, who'd have thunk it. And Wheeler and Sanchez dominate. And you went 2 of 3 and you headed in the break, you know, in a much better spot than if they had faltered, you know?
Yeah, you certainly head into it feeling like, okay, they righted the ship just enough to where you don't head into it, but like, dude, they really have to go out and lose 2 of 3 in just sad fashion out in Detroit, or God forbid, get swept out in Detroit. And there's a little bit of panic setting in, like them going out and responding. I mean, Friday night was embarrassing. And there's been a lot of games recently where they have a chance to keep it close and the bullpen just can't hold up and do their job and give the offense a chance to come back and steal a game late. And them responding on Saturday, obviously the starting pitching set the tone for both of those games. But that's how they're gonna have to win in October. I mean, you see the blueprint, right? I mean, it's Sanchez and Wheeler doing their thing, and the offense doesn't need to light up the scoreboard. They just have to do their thing. But it's pretty imperative that those guys give you at least 6, because we know where the bullpen is currently at. Now, bullpen will change, I'm sure, after the trade deadline. But as it currently stands, like, that's the blueprint. The offense is never going to be some juggernaut. The offense is not going to be something that you can hang your hat on and say they're going to go win us a ball game. It just has to be enough to where they can get scratch across 3 or 4. But it's so imperative that those two and Lizardo at the top of the rotation do their thing, because it's the only way that they're going to win in October. But I thought it was impressive what they did against Skubal. I thought their effort level yesterday wasn't impressive. I thought Stott beating that ball out was impressive. Harper had good hustle throughout the day. They went into the break still hitting the gas pedal after it felt like they were leaking oil there. And the bullpen is still leaking oil. But there maybe is some good developments there. Jonathan Bolin could be someone who is pitching his way more into that eighth inning role. Really interesting they didn't even give Keller that spot in a 5-0 game yesterday. Mm-hmm. They still went to Bolin even though he pitched on Saturday and got out of that jam. They still didn't go to Keller. So maybe there's a shift in the bullpen hierarchy or making sure that Keller's healthy before just putting it back out.
Or Keller has to work his way back to those roles, you know?
He does. He does. So, yeah. Like JT just being our clutch hero. Like,
well, you know what? If you're not going to hit that much, make the ones you hit clutch, you know? Make them important.
Yeah. I mean, we were monitoring the JT clutch situation last season. Who could forget the home run against the Mariners that helped him come back and win?
I forgot. I did. Now I don't. Look at you.
Yeah, the triple against Shohei. So he's had this, like, after years and years of being the player to one up least in a big spot, JT might be turning into, late in his career, just turning into a clutch hero for this baseball team. So a positive weekend. Derek Hill continues to do Derek Hill things. Winning baseball player, the Edmundo of the outfield. You don't need, well, the one thing that I keep thinking about is, and I I'm fine letting him grow out there, but like Derek Hill is such a better defensive center fielder than Crawford.
Oh, it's not even close. Yeah.
It's actually malpractice not to have him play center field.
Certainly in late innings, especially, you know?
Yeah. I wonder in the playoffs if like they move Crawford to a corner and put Hill out there if they're going for defense first. But yeah, it's just like he is a difference maker out there, whereas Crawford is, I think, turned into serviceable. I certainly don't think he's one of the worst outfielders in the game like he was the first 2 months of the season. I think he's figured some of that out, and it would cut off his development out there. But it's also
trying to win a World Series.
Best for the team to have Derek Hill manning center field defensively. I'm fine having Crawford bat. Like, I'm not saying I want Crawford on the bench for Derek Hill every day. I'm fine with Derek Hill playing against, you know, lefties, and maybe if they want to start mixing him in against righties and put Rincones on the bench, I don't know. But certainly on the days against lefties, maybe just put Derek Hill in center field.
Yeah, brother
Crawford in right.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, we're gonna get to the draft, the take bag, Miners Minute. I don't know if that's part of the draft. We'll get to all that coming up in a minute. I want to hit one last thing before, because in case you didn't listen to the radio show, and I got to give credit to someone right here. It's my co-host, Jack Fritz.
Oh, again.
I thought you had such a good point yesterday. Ooh. That I just want to reiterate it here, in that, especially because, and rightfully so, with the playoff losses we've had the last few years, the disappointments, I understand that the fan base is at a certain point where there's more frustration. There's a lot of wait to the playoffs. There's a lot of, well, I know they're going to disappoint us, whatever the lineup does now and all that. And I get all that. I think it's all fair. Like, I have some of that too. But I do think, and you said this yesterday, and you're so right, we need to take a step back and give this group some freaking credit, because they were 9-19. A older group, you know, all like, it could have been so easy for this season to fall away, or for nothing else, for them to, you know, get back to 500 or whatever, just kind of like not have the juice, not, you know, have the resilience to bounce back from that spot they were in. And they've done it with flying colors. They're 46-25 since Mattingly took over. They are 2 games back from the Braves, which we all thought was the division was over. I think the framing of the perspective on this team has been so negative all year. And again, I get it. But I do think as we stop for the All-Star break, as we celebrate the All-Star game in our city with a lot of our players there, I do think people should try, even for their own happiness and mental sanity, to step back and look at it from a bit of a different perspective and give this group some freaking credit for what they've done. And at least for me, like, I do take some, I know they still have to do it in the playoffs and we have to see it to believe it, but I take some hope out of the resiliency they've shown and how tough they've been and what they've done for the playoffs. Where are you at?
Yeah, I mean, there is, I would be very, very surprised if they went out sad in the first round. I don't have that feeling. I think this is a year where, as long as they don't face the Dodgers in the first round like last year, that they could make some noise because of everything they've gone through. And it's almost like we've just forgotten that they started 9-19.
Yeah.
And their playoff odds were what they were. And I think there was some I think they
will. I mean, the run differential still hasn't recovered, Jack.
I know.
The run, like, for us who care, it is devastating that start from that they just still haven't been able to get back from run, and they've won a lot of close games and all that, but, like, man.
I know. Well, 15-1 against the Royals, 10-3 against the Tigers, and 11-4 or whatever against the Reds. Doesn't exactly help the run differential.
Yeah,
from that
exactly. But, yeah.
But yeah, you look at both teams who started 9-19, the Mets and the Phillies, and the Phillies rallied, and it shows some gumption in that clubhouse. I think Mattingly taking over, and I think putting it on the players and forcing them to come together. I said it yesterday, I think there might have been a little bit too much focus in the offseason on the name on the back of the jersey and not the name on the front of the jersey. You know, the Harper Elite thing, the JT Bichette thing. It didn't look like a connected unit. Boom, thinking that he's getting traded. You know, Stott, maybe he's getting traded. They didn't, Wheeler working his way back. They didn't look like a team that was together. They looked disconnected. And one of the things that Mattingly told him was like, I need to hear you talking in the dugout. Like, you guys don't talk. And that's concerning. Now, I don't think that's been a problem in the past. I just think that maybe this year and the first time that he is seeing it, it probably drove him nuts. I think that they deserve a lot of credit, and I hope that hopefully this season ends differently than the last couple of years. I don't want to come on and say that they're going to win the World Series, but I think that they can make noise in October. Hopefully they make noise in October. Hopefully they give us a little bit of a run again, and let this city just, you know, fall back in love with a group of guys that have put together the third best run in franchise history. And hopefully can get a parade down Broad Street so they can be remembered the way that they should be remembered. And
I totally agree with you.
They should be. They should be remembered as a great, 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 great Phillies team. And they already are. But
you're right. They have to win it to get that, like, you know, forever status.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I so desperately want those guys to get it. All right. Draft. Take back the whole thing coming up in a sec. But shout out to Originals. Today's show is sponsored by Miller Lite and Originals on State Road. Check out Originals for every Phillies game and enjoy their Miller Lite pints for $3.25. Just $3.25. That's a great deal. Along with their 150-inch HD projection screen and signature homemade meatballs. Miller Lite's for Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly. Fritzy.
A couple quick pitching things. Really important to see Sanchez bounce back the way that he did. It wasn't like the best ever, but he bounced back from where he was. Wheeler not making the All-Star team, I think, will be the best thing for him and this team the rest of the year, because he is certainly pitching with a chip on his shoulder. And
when he wins the Cy Young, he'll hold it up and say, thank you for not voting me on the All-Star team, you know.
Hopefully so. And I actually thought Nola was really good. I wish they didn't pull him, but I understand why you pull him. I wouldn't have pulled him, but he has earned that this year of getting pulled in that situation. But some signs of life. And again, in watching it, I didn't see a ball like leak above the knees unless it was thrown with intent. And even when it was thrown with intent, it was thrown out of the zone. So signs of life, maybe.
Hey, that's great to hear. You know, maybe. Love to hear it. Love to hear it.
He was down in the zone. Even that Pirate start, he was down early, and then he got blasted. But, like, there's been some signs of him being able to stay on top of the baseball recently, and that's really, really important. All right, so a couple other things here in the, minor league minute / important for the big league club. The broadcasters of the Futures game yesterday, I couldn't tell if they knew something or if they were just talking. But when Gage Wood was on the mound, they kept saying he could be here in a month.
Wow.
And you know how that stuff works.
Yeah. Oh, they talk to teams. They get information on players. Like, it is not, when they say those things, it's usually sourced somewhat. You know,
they have the production meetings. You know, I mean, I always remember like Monday Night Football, Saturday Night Football. You have like random stories that come in throughout the broadcast.
I was talking to Coach Sirianni before the game, and, you know, like, that, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, so they kept saying he'd be here within a month. And I really think there's two outcomes for Gage this year.
Traded or up.
He's either in the big leagues or not.
Yeah, like, I think so too. Yeah.
In the big leagues or moved in a deal.
I agree with you.
And like we said over the weekend, like there's it's kind of trending towards, I don't know what the all-in move is, because the Red Sox got right back into it. Tigers,
Diamondbacks, all these teams that were like the rumors of, they've all getting back into it.
They've all gotten back into it. So it's like there might not be an opportunity to even trade Gage. Not that I'm dying to trade Gage, but like there's not that, there might not be that Wilson Contreras or, you know, one of those moves out there that you would have to put him on the table in order to get done. They might just be like, well, or he's here. We love him. We want him to be a part of our future. And that's where the idea of putting him in the pen and thinking like, okay, we can only use our resources to get one lefty out there. We need two arms. Gage can be the other arm. He is at 55 innings. Like I've said, I think the limit is
80 to 100, you said, more or less, right?
I think the first hurdle is 80, and how he's feeling at 80 will determine how much further they want to push him past it.
But obviously relieving
only an inning at a time.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you a quick question on this before you go on. The idea of how long do you think they would have, like, how long do you think it would take him to transition, essentially? Like, if they, because obviously you'd want him to pitch out of the pen in the minors before you brought him to majors, I would think. How long do you think that would take him to be, like, how many minor league outings or whatever? Because especially the back-to-back days thing, they probably wouldn't use him back-to-back days in the playoffs, but like,
yeah,
2 out of 3 days, all that type of stuff is different, you know?
It is. And it's a different routine for guys who have been starting pitchers. I think the difference here is that Gage has pitched out of the bullpen.
Yeah. So, and that's huge.
Like at Arkansas, he has done it before. And there's a very real chance, and I think he's gonna be really good, but there's a good chance that he is a reliever
long term.
Sure. And the biggest fear I would have, rather than that, I'm not too fearful of like transitioning into being a bullpen arm for the stretch run. I think he'd be fine with it. I think that whatever gets into the big leagues, he's okay with. My thing is more about, this has been an arm that you've been careful with. Now you're going to put him in the bullpen. If you want him to be a real...
Ask him to go max effort, you know.
If you want to be a real piece out there, he's going to have to pitch 2 out of 3 games, like you just said. Maybe back-to-backs. They wouldn't pitch him back-to-back, I don't think. So that would be more my concern than anything. But I think mentality-wise, I think he could do it. I think he could be a closer one day if they need him to be. Yesterday, he was super jittery being out there. He's gonna have to rein that in. And he certainly talked about it after the game, about how he walked out and said, well, this is different.
Yeah, he was like, that is way bigger than I thought it'd be. Yeah.
So there's, well, I think Bo always says it's that third deck that gets you.
Yeah, I'm sure. I can imagine. I mean, if you played in minor league stadiums and college stadiums and stuff, and then you step into a major league park, and it is different when you're on the mound or on the field than in the stands. Like, yeah, I'm sure it feels different. It has to.
So, that's one to, I think, monitor and see if they have some kind of plan there. Because he could be an impact reliever if they want him to be. Fastball was really, really good yesterday. You know, 11 pitches, one run scored. He didn't have good feel for his breaking pitches. He was overthrowing them, trying to make a point. And that's something he had to rein in if he got called up. But the fastball plays at whatever level. I mean, he was facing Leo DeVries and, you know, blew him away with his first 2 fastballs. So... that was exciting. All right. Really quick, just like minor league things. Cade Obermueller shoved yesterday. Very important. He did not pitch very well his last outing. He like walked 4 and allowed a couple earned runs. So he locked back in. Ramon Marquez did his thing again. 5 innings, 9 Ks, 1 run. All of a sudden, Titan Kennedy Hayes, who I kind of wrote off as throwing 100 out of nowhere, which is exciting.
Love a good all of a sudden they're throwing 100. That's always fun.
Well, him and Marty Gare, like Marty Gare, now he's struggled a little bit recently, but he, another fastball guy. Alex McFarland continues to shove and is just sitting in Double A. I can't wait to see who they're going to trade him for, and if he's not traded, how quickly he is in AAA/ maybe right to the big leagues, because it's insane that he's still there. Cody Bowker pitched really well, and so did Matthew Fisher. So a lot of the pitchers who we have been excited about or drafted the last couple of years, kind of rounding into form.
There. Would you say McFarland is the most likely player to get traded on the Phillies?
Yeah.
I think so too. That's why I asked. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, maybe for the trade deadline, I'll have to put together my...
That's why I asked. I think it'd be really interesting, actually. I would love that. Give us a list in order. Like... of the most likely to least likely, you know, of the guys who are being talked about, because I think that'd be really fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly far and away number one. I don't know what his value is. He's a 25-year-old double-A reliever. So I don't know if teams are like knocking down the door, but he also might be, he's also major league ready and pretty good to go. All right. The draft.
Yeah, buddy.
All right. Draft. All right. So if you heard the reaction on Saturday, it was a quick reaction, but the Tyler Spangler pick was very, very exciting. Now, obviously, that comes with some risk. He has the back injury, stress fracture there, I don't know. That he came back from. Now, Brian Barber said the other night that after the media availability, that they're sending him to Clearwater. He's been cleared for baseball activities.
And, that's great. That's huge.
So they're going to monitor it and hopefully get him in games for during the rest of the season. I already am counting down the seconds until the spring breakout game in 2027. There's going to be so many of our guys in it if it ever happens, because baseball may be gone forever. but the spring breakout game with Francisco Renteria and Ramon Marquez starting the game. Anyway, so Tyler Spangler, the quick Cliff Notes version of this is, he reminds me of Corey Seager. He doesn't really have a hole in his game right now. He will need to eventually develop power, but like his swing is geared to where I think that's going to come naturally. He is a hit first guy right now, with the possibility for more. I thought, my personal opinion, as believe it or not, you know, this is not something I just picked up yesterday looking at the draft, given the comments on all the posts about how I just knew who he was yesterday.
Oh, God. Do people not listen to this podcast? Like, what are we doing here, guys?
This has been going on since January. This is a 7-month process of getting ready for this weekend. And for my money, I had him as the second best prep shortstop in the class behind Grady Emerson, who went number two. Grady Emerson is freaking awesome, by the way. Like, he's gonna be
any relation to Colt?
No, actually not.
I figured not, but I figured I'd ask just because there have been so many brothers these days, it feels like.
I know. And they're 2 years apart in the draft, 3 years apart in the draft. Usually there would be brothers, but no, they are not brothers. So he's me sick. So Tyler Spangler, I had him as the second best prep shortstop. I thought, no doubt about it, top 15 pick. And really only was here because of the back. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they targeted him and said, hey, we'll take care of you at 36. I'm
sure overslot. Yeah.
He could have gone earlier. But yeah, it's really exciting. They added someone who can be a difference maker. I applaud them from the standpoint of being okay taking the risk of another back injury with the thing going on with Aiden. But like, as we've learned throughout the years, like, it's concerning, but Landon Dickerson had a bunch of injuries.
Yeah, I don't think just because one player has an issue, you can say, "Whoa, we can't draft a player with that type of injury." I mean, that's how you become a bad franchise. I mean, that would be bad decision making. I you have to judge each one individually.
Yeah. So I'm really, really excited. He could be a third baseman, but I think he moves well at shortstop. I guess he had a workout the week before the draft and looked like Tyler Spangler. So
awesome.
So that's exciting. And I really think they have a chance here with him. And if Aiden can get back and Francisco Renteria, like there's the pocket of young, exciting bats that could be coming. Now, Caden Bogenpohl, I knew of him because of the combine. Like, his combine performance is legendary. Hit a ball 119 miles an hour. The quick, you know, again, Cliff Notes on him is, he broke Ryan Howard's Missouri State home run record. He went to Missouri State just like Ryan Howard did, which is fun symmetry. Mm-hmm. He hit like 20 home runs his first year, 13 his second year, and then only 6 last year. But apparently he stopped chasing. He stopped swinging. Like, he didn't swing as much as he did in the past because he wanted to cut down on chase, cut down on strikeouts. So it may have cost him and may have made him be a little bit hesitant. I went back and watched him in the regionals last night, and he hit a ball like 120 miles an hour off of Gabe Geichel, who got drafted in like the second round. And it's like you see it. And watching the at-bats, he has a pretty patient approach. He can really hit the baseball. He's got to develop some loft. I would tell him to, like, if I'm the Phillies, don't worry about the strikeouts, don't worry about the chase. Like, go up here and try to hit as many home runs as you can. Like, there is a spot in that. I think that Brian Barber saw him and said, there's Judge. He's 6'6". Wow. He can play center field just like Judge. He moves. He's athletic. He hits the ball a mile when he makes contact. It's the same Judge profile. Huge, athletic, hits the ball really freaking hard. Now, my hesitancy is that the Phillies do not develop this kind of player very well. And he could be Matt Wallner, who's like a 200 hitter with that could hit 30 to 35 home runs. That might be Caden Bogapool. There's a valuable player in that. But you hope it's not like a Joey Gallo 190 and all those right. home runs. You hope there's a little bit more hitability. And I think there is in watching him. I don't think he's just home run or bust. But a really interesting upside swing that I'm not sure they've taken years past, which makes me think that they feel as if their hitting is getting in a better spot organizationally.
Develop one. Yeah, good. That's great. Yeah.
So we'll see. Again, I'm trying not to get too far ahead of myself with some of these guys. Ruger Rioas was one of my guys from the draft. I had him taking him in the second round because I thought they were going to go over slot, and I thought he would be under slot, and they could take him there. He's a 23-year-old senior. He just turned 23 yesterday, so pretty good, you know.
Yeah, good birthday, man. You kidding? Get drafted? That's pretty neat.
Pretty sweet. So he was a two-pitch guy the year before. This last year, he developed like five pitches. He reminds me of Lance McCullers. There's a little Lance McCullers in him. And he's up to 98. He sits more 94 to 96. Good feel for a hammer slider. Feel for a changeup. Should be a fast riser. Could be a pen piece, but obviously they'll start him as a starter. Devin Sheeran is a local kid, Reading.
Pitched
at Exeter. And he started at Mount St. Mary's, transferred to LSU, was one of their main bullpen pieces. They targeted fastball traits to some of their late guys. He's going to be a pure reliever, but he is super, super exciting. He is like up to 98 on the mound, heavy, 37% whiff rate, 31% chase rate on that pitch. So he throws it a lot. I think there's a clear path to a split if they want. He has the mechanics for it, I believe. He throws this like little crappy cement mix slider sometimes that I hate. And then out of nowhere, he'll flash this like hammer sweeper. Needs to hone in on that one. Ditch the cement mixer slider, and we might have a little something there. But Devin Sheeran, big, like just a house of a man. Jackson Jelkin, I'm not a huge fan of, so we'll move on.
Love it. I'll take it.
Will Gasparino has been on the prospect circuit for a while. I remember watching him 3 years ago in the Perfect Game All-American Classic, and 6'6", mountain of a man, but he's more slender, whereas Bogapool's like a house. But this kid can really go play center field. You look at the raw numbers last year and you get excited. 313, 20 home runs, OPS over 1,000 on who was, I think, the best team in the country last year. They didn't win the World Series, but UCLA was really, really good last year with obviously Rock Kowalski and stuff like that. He is, again, much like Bogapool, someone who they have struggled to develop, but they took chances on two guys that hit the ball a mile. I mean, Will Gasparino hits the ball miles. It's tape measure shots. Two raw, really athletic, talented guys that hit the ball far. There's a path to Jason Worth with Will Gasparino. There is, both huge, long levered, struggle to get the inside pitches until they figured it out. He is like those two are really, really exciting to see if they can develop them, because there is real, real upset, and he can stick in center field at that height, which is
it's a big deal. And look, they just don't have a lot of power in the system. Like they need it. Yeah,
they don't. Some other guys to like, you know, get through this. Mackin Winslow was a former Perfect Game All American kid. He was the UNC catcher. It's funny, transfer from Duke to UNC, which should be illegal in my opinion. But yeah, he's a good little bat. Bo Rudy, I do have to spend at least 10 minutes talking about. So Bo Rudy is, I can't wait to watch this kid pitch. Early in the season, he was like 90 to 91 and still had super big RPM on his fastball, but that'll get hit. By the end of the year, he was trying like 94, 95 with a fastball that hit 2,800 plus RPMs 50 plus times this year. That is a, we talk about unicorn fastballs. Like, that is a unicorn fastball. And I watched him last night against Oklahoma in the SEC tournament. I was cackling on my porch. Cackling at these. They couldn't hit it. Like, it was right there. It kept rising through the zone, and these guys could not hit it. When they did, it was a weak pop-up to left field. He, like, that's a dude. A really clean mechanics. There's a clear path to a split, clear path to a slider. I really, really like Bo Rudy. Their eighth and ninth round picks, they're two lefties. They have interesting traits, like good fastballs up in the zone. Wyatt Danilowicz, he has a...
Nailed it.
He has a really interesting look for a curveball down in the zone, but they did not have great numbers last year, but I think they believe in the stuff over the numbers, as does happen. Reese Maroney is, I'm putting the stamp of approval on, like, as one of my guys in this draft. Like, okay, a guy. Good. Rhode good. Island shortstop, local kid, played in the Carpenter Cup at CBP, which is cool. He is not going to ever hit for power, but he reminds me of a Cardinals player from back in the day,
sure,
who just would put the bat on the baseball, was a pest, can play a million positions. Like, there's a path to being like a two-win utility player for this kid. And I like him a lot. We'll see what happens. But I think from the standpoint of, like, being a good major league, like, eventually a Mundo Sosa type player, I think that's Reese Maroney. I think that's a winning player. And then only a couple more, I promise. We have to talk about Drew Titsworth.
What a name.
Yeah, what unbelievable. A name. Unbelievable name. But he has a unicorn fastball as well, like a great traits on that pitch. Not unicorn. Bo Rudy is unicorn.
Thank you, Virginia. I feel like we can't do unicorn for all of them, or else it becomes the wrong term for it. You know, yeah.
He is a very outlier fastball.
Good.
You know, so that they can build upon that. Christian Coppola, I love. He's a St. Joe's kid.
It's real out of local flavor.
Yeah, St. Joe's kid. He has bounced around a couple places, landed there, has stayed healthy. He's a supinator. He's a spin guy, just knows how to spin the baseball. Probably will eventually just throw a cut fastball rather than trying to throw a four-seamer, but he is awesome. And then the bats they drafted late were kind of fun. It was just a bunch of, like, undersized guys that walked more than they struck out. Braden Bakes is someone who some other smart organizations have been a fan of, like smart development orgs have liked. Mm-hmm. So he's interesting. He's the 13th rounder. Patrick Clemmie is this high school kid, 6'5", lefty. Had Tommy John a couple of years ago. Probably would be higher ranked, but they took him in the 14th. Seems like they're going to be able to sign him. I'm listening to Barber last night. And he's a Georgia commit, so it's a real commit to a real school.
Yeah.
So that's one to kind of monitor. And then really the last one that I want to talk about is Matt Quintanar. He is a catcher from Texas Tech, more bat first, but I think the bat is really interesting, and he doesn't really strike out. Again, the bats they targeted late walked more than they struck out, which I think is a fun little plan.
Love it. Look at this. And we will, obviously, as soon as he is able, we are efforting, we will get the great Brian Barber on to talk about the draft and react as is our annual tradition.
And you can just sit there.
I'll just hang. Yeah. I'll make sure I call him Brian and not Bill, and then everything else will be fine.
We'll talk about Bo Rudy against Oklahoma.
Oh, buddy. It's going to nerd out.
Yep.
I'm excited to hear what he says about the judge thing. That's interesting with Bo.
Dude, he had to have said that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was there. You know, it's interesting. It's an interesting thought, you know?
That's the judge profile.
Yeah. I love this. All right, let's go.
All right.
So we'll be back later in the week, obviously. All-Star Game reaction. Barber, whenever that happens, we got lots of stuff coming your way. And if you're down there tonight for the Home Run Derby, All-Star Game tomorrow, Fritz and I will both be there. You know, come say hi. We love seeing everyone. It's the best. So let's go. What a week, Fritzy. What a week.
Yep. Big stuff.
Love it. All right. We'll talk to you guys later. Until then, he's Fritz and Seltzer.